Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Ahead of President Trump's address to the United Nations General Assembly, Secretary of State Marco Rubio on ABC's Good Morning America defended the U.S. position in the world despite the decision earlier this year to close USAID.
People have died because gangs steal the aid. People have died because the distributors of aid have not done well. People have died because other countries haven't stepped up. But the United States has saved more lives and continues to save more lives than any other country in the world. And we're going to continue to do it, but we're going to do it the right way and in a responsible way.
The Secret Service has thwarted a plot that could have devastated cellular communications in and around New York City. No arrests have been made, but a source familiar with the investigation tells ABC it's suspected to be the work of a group with links to China. Shares of the company that makes Tylenol have recovered ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street after President Trump said pregnant women should not take Tylenol because of autism risks. Medical groups say studies have not found a causal link. This is ABC News. Attorneys for Sean Diddy Combs are asking a judge to sentence the hip-hop mogul to no more than 14 months in prison, which would amount to time already served for Combs. He was acquitted of sex trafficking and racketeering charges, but convicted on a prostitution charge. He's remained in jail. He's due to be sentenced next week. The family of a five-year-old who died while being treated in a hyperbaric chamber in Troy, Michigan earlier this year is suing the Oxford Center and the chamber's manufacturer. Thomas Cooper was being treated for sleep apnea and ADHD when he died. His family's lawyer, James Harrington, says
there were no automatic fire detection systems. There was no effective emergency extraction system, which would have been helpful because, you know, Thomas's mother was severely burned while Thomas was burning alive, trying to get him out.
The facility manager says this is a tragic incident. The manufacturer has not responded to these claims. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
They say the more things change, the more they stay the same. And that's certainly true at the Phoenix Center. A longtime favorite in Richland County, it remains the go-to destination for bowling, great food, and lasting memories. It's where friends gather, laughs are shared, and good times roll, literally. Open every day at 11 a.m., the Phoenix Center continues to serve up favorites like their legendary pizza and friendly atmosphere. Call 649-7469 for more information or to carry out.
Here is this hour's word to text in the multi-state text-to-win contest, courtesy of Civic Media. This hour's keyword is goal, G-O-A-L, goal. Download the Civic Media app, find WRCO, use the text button at the bottom of the screen to send the keyword, or you can certainly do that at 608-647-4155. Text it in, and perhaps you'll be the winner of some gold jewelry, $200 in cash, or maybe even some club-level tickets to a Green Bay-Minnesota game coming up later this season. So, again, the word this hour is goal.
It's your WRCO Hometown Weather Watch, sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. You don't need 20% down to get into your dream home.
A high today in the mid-70s, partly sunny and mild conditions, with north to northeast winds between 5 and 10 miles per hour. A small chance of sprinkles early tonight, then partly cloudy, a low of 55. Wednesday, partly sunny and still comfortable, a high of 72. Thursday, plenty of sunshine and very nice, and a high of 74. Friday, mostly sunny and warm, and a high of 80 degrees.
From private beach homes and oceanfront condos on Florida's Panhandle to the frozen tundra near Green Bay's Lambeau Field, Call Properties offers luxury vacation rentals for everyone. With stunning views of Navarre Beach, Panama City Beach, Green Bay and Seneca, Wisconsin, plus local stays at the Ramada White House in Richland Center and Round Barn Lodge in Spring Green. Unforgettable locations are just a booking away. Learn more at kfprentals.com. That's kfprentals.com.
Apple season is in full swing at Oakwood Fruit Farm, featuring fresh picked Honeycrisp, Macintosh, Cortland, and much more. Perfect for eating or baking. Sip on fresh apple cider, enjoy apple cider donuts, caramel apples, cookies, turnovers, and take and bake pies. Every Tuesday, get 10% off all apple purchases. Plus, brighten your porch with mom's squash and pumpkins. Oakwood Fruit Farm open daily 9 to 5. Follow the signs south of Ithaca on Apple Ridge Road.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun.
This Wednesday, starting at 11:30 a.m., the Richland Cattle Center hosts weekly consignments featuring fresh cows, two-year-olds, milking and breadback cows, springing cows, first calf heifers, bred heifers, open heifers of all ages, a breeding age bull, and baby heifer and bull calves. Cattle are received 7 days a week. Daily updates are available at the Richland Cattle Center website. For more information, call Junior Hipsch, 608-585-3700. Richland Cattle Center, your trusted source for quality livestock.
At U.S. Cellular, you can get 4 free phones of your choice and 4 lines for just $90 with no trade-in.
Great! I'll send a phone to each of my 4 daughters to see who calls me first.
That's sweet.
I can only pay for one of their weddings.
Oh.
Oh, I hope it's going to be Catherine, but I know it's going to be Sarah.
Get 4 lines for $90 a month and choose 4 of the latest phones for free. No trade-in or hidden requirements, and we'll pay off your current contract when you switch. U.S. Cellular, built for us. Terms apply. Visit uscellular.com for details.
The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust. On our morning show today, we are pleased to talk about all the great things going on in the Riverdale School District. We have Jeff Campbell here, the district administrator, along with Jesse Kinney and Callie Coe. Jesse is a special education teacher, Callie Coe, of course, with Riverdale's top-rated ag program. Great to have you in here in the studio with us again, Jeff. Months go by pretty fast. Here you are again.
They sure do. I said we were just back here in August, preparing for the year at the admin team, and then now we're into the fourth week of school. So, yeah, it went really fast already this year.
You've already had your third week of school pupil count. That must have been last week.
Yeah, that was a big day for us. We actually had picture day on that day, so that might have helped a little bit too. But yeah, that third Friday count is always the it's an interesting way they do it, and just kind of taking your entire enrollment there on that third Friday. But there's I know our office staff is kind of finalizing that today, and we'll get that submitted to DPI. Huge impact on our funding, and we did really well. Our parents have done a nice job with getting their kids to school, and we need every kid to help with our funding.
In service, have you had any of those, or is there a regular schedule for those this year?
Yeah, we did. We had our 4 in-service days before the year started, and that was did our basic training that we needed to do. We had a wonderful speaker in Terrence Talley just to kind of kick off the year. He's worked with our kids a couple times throughout the last few years, and to bring him, this is the first time we had him just with the staff. So he came in, just a message about opportunity and how every kid has an opportunity and how the impact a staff can have. Very motivational, very uplifting, and then he also worked with our paraprofessional staff too, individually for about an hour, which was great because they hold a different lens when they're working with all kinds of kids from all kinds of backgrounds, and it's nice to give a little bit give a little bit of professional development for them too, and a chance for them to kind of talk with him and get some ideas of how to work with some of the kids they had. But yeah, otherwise we had our open house in there. Very successful open house. Tremendous turnout in both buildings, junior high, high school, and the elementary. And then some work time for the teachers and a lot of meeting time and just collaboration time with each other. And we'll continue those throughout the year. We have full day in services, which we went to about, I would say about 3 years ago, our school board decided to do that. Does save us a lot of money within the district. That was one way we were able to save quite a bit within our district, because no kids show up. So you're not running transportation. You're not having support staff there, cooks and paraprofessional staff working those days. So we're able to, you know, use that time then to collaborate with one another. And they're limited throughout the year since they're full days, but it's still it's a good day that we get a lot of work out of, and each one has an individual theme that we work around and things that we need to accomplish during that time. So we'll have those throughout the school year. And the last one that we have is always our Riverdale Education Foundation comes in and presents their awards, which is, you know, a highlight of the year. So we've got those scheduled throughout the year. They'll be productive, and I think sometimes parents like that because it's they can plan ahead that it's a whole day off and it's not a part day, it's anything. But we've done a nice job. That was more of a cost savings move, and it's worked out well for our staff.
You mentioned your speaker, Terrence Talley, on the opportunity to make a difference. I mean, you practice that every day, but I'm sure it's nice to hear that and have it being reinforced as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. He just has a way about bringing, you know, some energy. He's got a lot of energy, and the teachers do make a difference every day. And as you start into the school year, you know, everybody's pretty gung-ho on that. And as you get into your challenges and that in the first couple weeks, you're starting to learn new students. You're starting to learn students, you know, challenges that they, you know, went through during the summer, getting them readjusted to everything. And when you get into the school year, these students spend a lot more time with those teachers than almost their individual families. And that's something we've talked about a lot too, and that's the difference that people are going to make because of the time commitment that you give to these kids. And there's a lot of trust factor in there and building that trust factor. And he did a good job of recognizing that. I know when he one thing he did with our kids, never did this with the staff, but it was interesting with our kids, he you know, at the very end, asked each kid to come down, lined up the whole staff, and each kid would come down, give a hug or a handshake to a staff member that's made a difference to him. And I said that when he comes in and does that, that's a pretty emotional moment for everybody, because in a way you have some of those kids there, they're not outward and they don't show that appreciation, but on that day they did, and it was really rewarding for our staff and kind of gives you a little pick me up. And he uses some personal experiences of some things too. But our district, like many others in our area, faced with a lot of challenges, and our students are faced with a lot of challenges, so we come together as a group and can make a big difference for our kids.
Indeed. So you're off and running with the school year, and then you start toward homecoming, which is next week at Riverdale. And do you look forward to that week?
No, always an exciting week. I don't know if you say you look forward to it, you know, as an administrator, but it is fun. It's fun because you get to see all the kids kind of you know, really come out. They really come out and show a lot of school spirit, and a lot of kids surprise you in a lot of the events and the skits and that. You see a different side of them, which is a lot of fun. And we've got a lot of events planned. Our staff does a tremendous job making it a special week for our kids. We incorporate our elementary. We incorporate all kinds of different clubs and organizations. I think I looked at it. All levels of our athletics from junior high to high school are participating in one event that week, at least, you know, Monday through Saturday. So everybody's participating, and it's kind of a whole group effort that way. We just want to make it a whole community effort. And I think one of the biggest highlights, and Jessie will talk about kind of the schedule, she's a huge part behind the scenes of planning all this, so we're very fortunate to have her plan that. And but one of the big highlights is Friday when we get our whole school together, you know, at 1 o'clock, and we put them in the res gym, and you got the little ones on one side, you got the, you know, big kids on the other side, and it's just it's a great event, and we don't get that very often. So when you do, we talked about, you know, we got to try to do this more than one time a year. Just a nice thing to see the whole school together, and you see all the young kids, you know, they see their siblings, cousins, whatever. And we have a lot of high school kids that work over in the elementary too and help out at school service and that. So those kids, you know those kids, and it just makes it a pretty special event and probably the highlight to cap the week. You know, it's that's what it's all about.
Well, let's get an update from Jesse. Good morning. How are you, Jesse?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Not bad. So you're the queen of homecoming, it sounds like, right?
Yeah. And I wish other people would run for this position. It'd be great. No, it's actually, I can't complain. Our staff is super accommodating. I miss things every year in the planning process, and I'm always getting some great ideas that we can implement. So that's the bonus is if I had to work with a staff that wasn't willing to participate in some things and also giving me grace with mistakes I make, then it would be a different story. But it's a great time. I feel like our staff is another class when we're competing in events, whether it's dress-up days or games or anything. We tend to resort a little bit back and have fun with the kids.
Could you go over the schedule for Riverdale Homecoming next week?
Yes, absolutely. So Monday we kick off, and we are incorporating our junior high and our high school, and we start with window painting, and then they right away on Monday are starting their skit planning. So that won't be performed till Thursday, but skits, banners, all of those things. And actually on the weekend, classes will begin their floats for the parade. So Monday is a super busy day. We get the kids out in the community. They're walking around, they're painting windows, they're at businesses. And then Tuesday we have just athletic events. And then we also have Powder Puff Volleyball. We are on a rotation. Last year we had the girls playing football. This year we have the boys playing volleyball, which is always highly entertaining for the girls, I think, to watch that. So that will be Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at the elementary gym. Wednesday is kind of our slow day. It's our off day to kind of get caught up, or it's our rain day in case something happens and we can't get outside on Monday and Tuesday. And then Thursday, we've got some athletic events. We have a varsity and JV1, JV2 volleyball at home against Cuba City. And then immediately following that, we have our skit night, which is highly entertaining. Every year, the kids get better and better at incorporating humor with the theme, with also just trying to get more people involved in each skit. And then, like Mr. Campbell already said, we have Friday, which is the all district assembly. It is one of the favorites that we have. It's you preach to these older kids how they're role models, and they get it, but I don't think they always get it until they're in that situation. And then you see some of them come out of the woodwork. We do class yells where each grade says what year they're graduating, and it kind of ripples around like a wave. And the 4K kids and the kindergarten kids, they're learning, and you always see some of our upperclassmen leave their post with their class and go over by them and help them yell their graduating year so that they understand it. And that's just like, it's one of those goosebump moments where the kids are just like in awe, and then they'll always remember that kid that they saw at that assembly. So it's very fun to watch that. And then the parade followed by the football game and the dance on Saturday. Throughout the week, we tend to interrupt a lot of the elementary things as well, but they seem to be okay with it. We send athlete readers into the classrooms to read some books and answer questions with the kids during the week around usually their study hall times. So we kind of try to incorporate a couple from each grade level, from each sport, get them in there. The kids have some very, you know, what's your favorite food? It's always highly, you know, entertaining questions for them to answer. And then also it's fun to watch our upperclassmen have to read even an elementary book in front of them. They get so nervous and they're worried about it. And so they're overcoming some things and learning a lot along the way, as well as just positively impacting our elementary as well.
The parade, Jesse, do you have to pre-register for that?
Yes, if you could. I mean, they will always take you walking up, but if you could contact Tanner Williamson at the high school, that would be the best way to at least get all the information early. There is a new route this year that Tanner and Officer Schramm put together, just for safety reasons. So there is a little bit of change there. So he has a map. He will have a lineup. He has all of the information ready. I believe it'll be out in the newspaper this week as well. So if you have any questions or are interested in that, please contact Tanner.
You don't realize how long a parade that is, but Muscadet is a pretty long stretch when you start from one end of the town and go to the other.
There's a lot of intersections, yes.
And the class yells, that sounds like so much fun. I was just trying to think as you were talking. So 4K, what are they saying? Is it 2030? What would it be? Something like that.
30, yeah, they're around there.
30, yeah.
30, Have to go back and check. I'll get it before we're done.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah. It's a lot. We'll send it out early. We actually have a video that we made years ago that the teachers try to show to help, because it's such a, you know, when do we go in the gym and just yell? You know, it's interesting to watch the kids learn that.
Are the skits on video?
They are, which gives them a lot of freedom. You know, they get to change their setting. They get to utilize classrooms if they're in a certain situation. It allows them to have more props. And now we've fine-tuned it more so you can hear. I feel like when they were live, we never have enough microphones. You can never hear enough. So now with them in this setting, and then it's interesting because with technology these days, I would be terrible, but these kids can do so much with the audio, with the overlays, with like the cutting in and out. I mean, it's another way for so many kids that maybe don't want to be in the limelight, but have these amazing skills that can highlight what they can do.
Yeah, make a movie on your phone, basically.
Anymore, oh, for can't sure.
You? Sure. Yeah. How's volleyball going?
It's going really well. I can't complain. We have such a fun group, and this whole new schedule with the SWAL this year is a learning process for all of us, but it's allowed us to try some new things. When you practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, those 3 days can be a little bit grinding. So, I mean, last week we took a day, and thankfully Mrs. Coe let us use her classroom as well, but the girls were broken up into teams, and they had to create a pre or post game meal that hit, you know, your carbs, your proteins, your fats, and they had that. We had some judges come in to judge their foods. We kind of did our own little top chef to focus on not just the skills of volleyball, but also what you put in your body, how you're going to fuel, how do you recover, how do you prepare. So it's allowed us to have a little bit more leeway with this new schedule that we're following.
You had a fairly young squad coming in, didn't you?
Yeah, we have 8 seniors. However, not a lot of experience from the last year, so it is a little bit young. The juniors and then a freshman. I mean, they're a good group. The only way to describe them, I think, is quirky. And they are just goofy and fun, and that's how they play. But they are also super competitive. And the conversations that we have when we're in the gym are centered around strategy, not necessarily skill. So they're pushing the level of volleyball now, which is fun because they lead the whole gym with our numbers being a little bit smaller. Their guidance and their leadership trickles down through everybody within the gym. So it's definitely a turning point right now.
Today being the 23rd of September, your season is what, about 3 weeks from the WIA tournament, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy to think. We just had a conversation last night on how every match matters, and regionals is right around the corner, and you know, conference is like halfway finished, and all of these things, and where are we at? Where do we want to go? Doing a lot of goal setting speaking. But yeah, the fall season just flies by.
And you'll be home for a match during volleyball, you said, the next week with Cuba City. Then.
Correct. Yep, we'll be seeing Cuba City at home, and I mean, some of us have already scouted them, so it's always, I mean, Cuba's disadvantage is that everybody wants to play their best against them because of their reputation, so I'm really glad that that's our homecoming match.
And will that be a little earlier than that?
Yes,
as well?
We will bump that match up. I think that we're at a 5:45 to kind of, or a 5 and a 5:45, 6 o'clock start there. We've got, that'll also be in the paper just to solidify that, but yeah, everything is bumped up just because of trying to get to skit night.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. Next week is Riverdale's homecoming. Callie Coe is here. Riverdale Ag Program is doing well. Congratulations on being number one in the state this summer.
Thank you. It's awesome. We're pretty proud of it.
Can you talk about that and what went into that and what you were awarded for?
Sure. Yep, we found out, let's see, last year we kind of knew we had won the section, or Section 4, which is about 30 schools in Southwest Wisconsin. And then I filled out an application following some different criteria that the Wisconsin Ag teachers asked for. And then they go through and grade this with a rubric. And we found out in June at the Ag Teacher Conference that we won the state, which is, I mean, they have one a year. So that's awesome in general. But we are the 2025 winners, essentially.
What put Riverdale over the top, do you think?
I think we do a lot of really awesome things all around the school. We're so fortunate to have so many good students, student managers. Our community is really, really awesome at kicking in some of the different categories. The categories were, yes, like your basic things that we do in the classroom. There was also like leadership and experiential learning, which, again, it's not just what I'm doing in the classroom. It comes to some of the things we do in FFA, some of the things that we do out of school, and then just overall our ability to lead the way in making our kids' career and college and life ready.
The facility you have, too, has to add to that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Our facilities are second to none. Between our new addition, which was supported by a referendum here a few years ago, that part is my egg classroom with an animal lab, an attached greenhouse, a head house, as well as a food science area. We have a fantastic classroom at school. And then we also put up a learning center at our school farm here right around that same time, which, again, is second to none. As far as I know, we have the largest school farm in the state of Wisconsin, according to some surveys we did. We may not have the biggest school forest, but biggest school farm, most tillable acres. And we utilize that property as well to its fullest extent, which we wouldn't be able to do without the help of the community, local businesses, administration, staff. And we're really fortunate to, another big part of that, one of the categories that was judged was, you know, how we incorporate others into what we do for agriculture education. And again, we are so fortunate that our elementary, that our junior high, they're all willing to, you know, basically come along on whatever adventure I tell them. we have some really cool stuff. We do pumpkin carving with the third graders. We try to kind of meet with every class at some point. We do drive your tractor to school day. We'll do like a meet and greet with all the elementary. Again, just agriculture education at its finest. We had kids that sat on a tractor that have never done that before. I mean, probably more than half of them had said it was their first time on a tractor. So we also cover, we do a Food for America with the fourth graders and some local farms like Stormdale's. We do, I mean, you name it, we read books to the first graders. We try to go over there and help them hatch eggs. They come over, a lot of the groups come over and visit our animal lab when we have things in there that, you know, if they have time or the weather's nice or they have a little, you know, a minute in between recess and class that they can come over and just our communication is great. Our staff has been awesome to work with. And then again, there's just so many people we couldn't probably possibly mention them all, but, the students, the community, the staff, parents, local businesses, they just are all part of the win. They're all part of what made it happen.
How are the crops looking this year?
Good, good. We got a little bit of rust on the outsides. It's drying down fast in the sandy parts, but some of it's pretty green yet. I don't think we're going to be combining till probably end of October, I would say, would be our earliest.
Do you rotate crops then from year to year?
Yep, we do soybeans and corn usually. Actually, I think we're going to do corn on corn this next year potentially, but that's a decision for our school farm managers. Our student managers make those decisions. I kind of am along for the ride on those. I obviously help advise them. We get a lot of experts and talk to a lot of people that know what's going on. We have a really close relationship with a lot of agronomists in the area. I think we have 45 varieties in our test plot this year. So, yeah, that'll be fun to take out.
That's but, crazy.
It is a lot, but it's pretty cool. The kids get a lot out of that aspect. And then, again, we have just a better relationship with more people in the industry that are professionals. And we go with what they usually have to say or suggest. And we let the kids kind of make decisions as we go. For example, like we contracted some corn here this summer. Good decision on their part, I thought, you know, with corn prices being what they are. So we're learning as we go, always. Input costs were high this year for us, so hoping to make some of that back yet this fall. And yeah, a lot of real life we're learning, that's for sure. It's not all simulated. There's money in the game, that's for sure.
That's what it's all about,
yep.
Right? Some FFA events now that the new school year has started. Do you kick into gear now with FFA as well?
Yes, yes. Calendar has certainly filled up. We kind of make our calendar out in July at our officer retreat. We go camping or to some location and just kind of spend a couple days coming up with a plan and setting down these dates so that we're pretty solidified for the year. Well, we went through August with the Autumn Fest Kitty Pedal Pull for the Blue River Fire Department, and then we had Grant and Richland County Fairs, which we had a lot of success there, I would say. Our students didn't necessarily all show under FFA, but we had everything from Champion Market Goat to Reserve Overall Steer, Champion Market Chicken, you name it. We were in the game. Our kids are really competitive and work really hard at those projects. Again, very proud of them, whether they were showing under FFA or through 4-H. As we roll into this year, we did last week two events. We had Drive Your Tractor School Day, and then it was National Farm Safety Week last week. So that's what we essentially set that up for. And then we had a judging contest last week for dairy and livestock, first one of the year. And then last night we had fall leadership workshop in Prairie Sheen. So we've been all over the board, driving tractors, going to leadership things, looking at cattle and, doing all things, in our area that we can. Coming up here, we'll have World Dairy Expo, State Soils Judging, and then one of our highlights, or what has come to be one of the highlights of the year, will be our Haunted Walk, October 23rd, and then some pumpkin carving that day with the third graders as well.
Oh, Haunted Walk. Can you shed any light on that?
Yeah, we actually, we've started it last year, essentially. We have a trail. We have about 2.5 miles of trail we maintain at our school farm, the FFA maintains, and we had our FFA members kind of split up into 6 or 7 groups and kind of get themselves prepared with a theme for what they wanted to do for scaring. And then our community was invited to come out. And last year we did free will donations. This year we just put $5 for everybody individually. And you walk the trail with a guide so we don't lose anybody. And then they come back and we do have some like hot chocolate, popcorn, water, stuff like that. It was awesome. Our kids, the FFA kiddos, loved scaring. They have done nothing but talk about it since. So we're looking forward to that.
That'll be another fun thing coming up this fall. We're talking about Riverdale schools and all the great things going on as the new school year begins. We'll be back with more on our morning show after these words.
If you're looking for a workplace that truly cares, at Rockwell Automation in Richland Center, it's more than just a job. It's a career with purpose. They put people first, offering great benefits, growth opportunities, and a positive, supportive environment. Rockwell is proud to stand behind its employees and support the Richland Center community every step of the way. Rockwell Automation, a great place to work, a great neighbor to have. Now hiring. Learn more today at rockwellautomation.com.
It's been said, a goal without a plan is just a wish. This is Nick Hodge at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. It's our goal to provide your family the very best service possible. That goal is the easiest to achieve with planning. Our plan is helping you pre-plan your arrangement. Plans can be as simple or as detailed as you desire. We'll help you create the service you desire and make sure your plan addresses all your concerns at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Hi, I'm Tom from the People's Community Bank in Richland Center. Have you been thinking about your dream home for some time now? We can help that dream home become a reality. With customized home loan options to fit your needs, we're sure to find a solution that works for you. Stop by our office in downtown Richland Center or visit us online at thepcb.bank to start our easy and simple home loan process. That's what we call simply good banking. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Got stumps? Call Titus Osborne today for a free estimate. With over 15 years of professional stump grinding and removal experience, Titus is insured and ready to handle your project. Don't let those stumps linger. Get the removal scheduled. Customer satisfaction is a must, and Titus is committed to providing fast, reliable, no-hassle service. Call 608-604-7757 now for all your stump removal needs. 604-7757. Titus Osborne, your go-to expert for stump removal.
Looking for a career where tradition meets opportunity? Join the legacy at Scott Industries, a proud family-owned business celebrating 75 years. They're expanding and hiring dedicated team members. No experience necessary. Just bring your enthusiasm. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 to 3 at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscatine, or call 739-3171 to learn more. Scott Industries, a profit-sharing company where you can grow your career.
Farming has no set hours, no weekends off. The work can feel endless, But wrapping up that last acre makes it all worth it. At Rank Seed, we get it. We know the pain and joy of farming because our family's been doing it since 1846. Our seed will work as hard as you do. We think you'll crack a smile when the combine rolls. Rank Seed. Results since 1846.
John Deere is putting in work and putting up highlights.
Oh man, look at those passes. Tillage, planting, harvesting.
3 years in and these pre-owned machines are still at the top of their game. We're talking reliability, performance, and long-term potential.
And get this, these veteran machines can pick up the latest precision tech with ease.
You know it, and fans ready to add John Deere certified pre-owned equipment and more options to their lineup can shop at machinefinder.com.
Booyah!
We're talking about Riverdale Schools at the start of the school year here on the morning show today. Jeff Campbell is in along with Jesse Kinney and Callie Coe. You did the math while we were on break there to figure out where the 4Kers would go. What is their class year?
We're looking at 2039.
39.
So, yeah, as of right now. So that's thinking next year's 4K group around 2040. That's hard to believe. We're there.
Yeah. 39, 39, 30, 30,
yeah,
39.
Yeah. Well, okay. They're working on it already, I bet.
So. Last time you were in, Jeff, you talked about the track upgrade. What's the process of that? Is it getting done?
Yeah, we are. We're kind of at a waiting point right now. We're just waiting for the painter now. They took care of everything within the last about 2 weeks ago. They finished up the entire top layers of the track, the couple layers they had to put on, and now we're just waiting for the finishing touch, which should be within the next, I would say, week or two, as they kind of roll through their system. That painter usually follows the crew through and is finishing up one right now, and that will be the last thing. So we've got it kind of blocked off right now, not for community use at this time, so that we can have that all settled and ready for the painter when they come. They can take care of it, and then it'll be open back up to our community. So hoping within the next, I'm hoping for the homecoming game, it'll be open and done, and the community can see that. So kind of took an unfortunate situation that wasn't in the works to have done, you know, this soon, and just kind of something we needed done for our kids and our community. And we had to, we were lucky enough to get the people in here to do that. So we're not waiting another year for the track to be ready for our kids and community to use.
Is it like a brand new track now? I mean,
it will be.
Lifespan,
yeah,
and everything?
Well, my hope, it better be. That's
okay.
All I got to say on my end of things. It should be ready to roll, and we shouldn't have to worry about doing anything with it for usually about 7-8 years. Then you got to do a little bit of spot checking that stuff. But yeah, as far as that goes, we should be in great shape for a good period of time and shouldn't have any issues with it. And that'll be great for our community to have.
Will you be hosting conference meets coming up then again?
We will. We actually, with the issues that we had last year, we had to give up the conference meet just out of safety precautions. And so we went ahead and switched with Boscobel. So we'll be hosting the conference meet, not this year, but the following year. So we flip-flopped with them. And yeah, that was unfortunate we had to do that, but it was in the best interest of all the kids and the teams.
What about other facilities? Any other upgrades you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I think just our facilities in general have, we were awarded three different WIA events this year, and that's not always the case, I don't think, for our facilities. So just wanted to kind of highlight that a little bit. We're going to be hosting D4 volleyball sectional final this year at Riverdale. One of probably the first times, you know, Jesse can speak to that. I don't know if we've hosted the sectional before or
no.
Sectional finals. So I think that's, you know, that's a big thing just to kind of showcase our facility. And, you know, who knows, our team, we want to push to, you know, it's something for our girls to look forward to, you know, playing in that game in your home gym would be a great thing. It's a good goal to have. And then we're also, we're going to have D3 baseball sectionals this year, which we've hosted a number of years for that. But just I think it's another highlight on our facility that we have, that, you know, teams that come and play there feel like during a sectional tournament, which is a very important day for programs and that. They go back to the WIA. They express their gratitude of the way we run things. And we are able to get that. And we're also doing D3 or D4. It would be softball sectional final. So that's the opportunity to kind of showcase our new softball field that we put in a couple years ago. And we've done that, I think, about once before. We had it at the JC Park, but now with our new field right there on campus, it's going to be our opportunity to host that. And I think and highlight one of the best softball fields in the area. And Coach Hinkle's looking excited to that. And once again, you know, all three of these events give your kids a little bit extra incentive to say, hey, we want to be playing there on that day. But it also showcases your school district and the way we do things, and you know, brings in some money in your concession stands for your clubs and that too.
Definitely. So, you have to get workers there and things like that.
We will. Yep. And Kurt's already working on that. And when we were awarded it, he's got pretty much everything planned and ready to go for each event already. And yeah, we'll look ahead to that. The softball will be a little bit interesting. We'll have to kind of close down some road area there for parking purposes and just getting people in and out, but it'll be a short little spot there on the corner block, but just a beautiful facility. We got plenty of seating. It'll be a great opportunity for, you know, if not our community, then two communities to come in and enjoy.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy for you for selfish reasons, because, you know, if it's a local team, I don't have to drive 2 hours.
There we go. I'm always thinking of you too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Fall sports well underway, and again, the big part of homecoming next week is football on Friday night. You'll host basketball.
Yeah. I think that's always the battle for the past. We've been able to come out with that the last couple years. We have it up on top of our office at our high school, and they'll bring it out next week out to the field to kind of get during practice week, and it'll be out there on the field for the game that night. Kind of a neat little thing to kind of have that battle between each other, and it's always fun. It's always a good game. It's always a competitive game, and both communities and both teams take a lot of pride in that. So I think, you know, like I said before, we'll have all of our programs, junior high through high school, participating at least, not necessarily all home, but they're at least participating that week. So that's, you know, exciting. For that, volleyball has their game on Thursday night with Cuba City. That'll be a big game for our team. And then cross country, they're going to participate in their home event October 11th. That's always a highly attended event. Always fills up the area around there, and it's a great course and a fast course, and it'll be a good date for our cross country, not on the homecoming week this year, but 1 week later. But it's a great event to showcase our cross country team.
I hadn't talked about that much. Do they have great participation this year?
They're doing well. Yeah. They've got a team in each level, and that's what you're always looking for. Can make out a varsity team, and at both the boys and girls level, which is great. And, you know, our girls have had a little bit more success this year, have a couple top runners up towards the top, and a good solid team and a good solid group. So they've placed well at their meets under, you know, a first-year head coach, too, and Jamie Bumpkamp. So he's done a great job. He's assisted by Shay Clicko, which is a new teacher within our school district, has done a great job adjusting to that role, along with coaching in her first year of teaching. Never easy to do. And they had a lot of fun this past Thursday night at the fun run, the night run for the Greg Bell Memorial Run in basketball. Was a neat little event for them. So it was the cross country team's off and running, and we'll continue looking for good things for them down the stretch.
You've been getting good support from the community with some donations as well.
We have our burger night, our Legion burger night is just something that has just taken off in our community. It's a wonderful event. It's usually the last Wednesday of the month, and I believe they'll run one in October too. I think it usually shuts down about that time, but I know they have one in September, and it just draws. It's like people just come out to, I mean, they set up their lawn chairs, they'll sit out in groups and circles and just kind of sit and talk and then go get food and go get snacks and everything. We had ice cream there, all kinds of stuff for, you know, the community. It's a community event, and usually each event they pick a organization or some community organization or a school organization to receive kind of some proceeds from the event. And they picked ours during the summer, the Riverdale School District, and donated $3,500. We kind of earmarked it for our elementary school, but we'll help in the junior high school too for kind of like group-wide field trips and things to cover costs on that. Also looking at putting some maybe into a playground fund we have to update playground equipment. Just any way that you know, we can use that money to better the experience for our kids. And such a great event. And, you know, we were able to get there, present us the check. You know, they shut down for just a little bit, but long lines. I mean, you look at that and people are willing to stand in line. Great burgers and a great way to give back, and has just taken off. And when you see an organization like that and then they're willing to give back, that's kind of what these small communities are about. They're willing to do that in all assets of the community.
Did you have a successful Stuff the Bus campaign this year as well?
We did. I mean, the Stuff the Bus campaign always brings in a ton of, you know, supplies for our kids, monetary donations. Community First Bank dropped off supplies for us. We've had individuals that have dropped off either money that we can go get supplies, or, hey, hang on to this because if you get low later in the year, go ahead and get something. So a lot of that stuff we put in our activity accounts, and we just wait for when it's needed or for an individual that might need something. But a lot of our families take advantage of that, and that's the Lions and the organizations that do that stuff. We just can it's another way they support us, and it helps kids along the way. It helps families along the way, especially when they're struggling to come up with school supplies, and this is a way to get them off to a good start. So it's one less thing they have to worry about, and it's one less thing they have to be concerned about as they roll into that classroom.
You have a school supply closet then, where you
Yeah, we do. Yep. Yeah, backpacks full of things, ready to go for the kids. We actually ran out for a period of time, so we had to go back out and purchase from some of those donations some more stuff. And we have it. You know, if any families are listening and are always in need, or a teacher will come down and say, hey, this kid's running low on this, we always are able to supply it for them and get it for them. So that's one less thing they kind of have to have on their minds and worry about. And, you know, gets them off to a good start, makes them feel comfortable.
I know the Muscadet Chamber recently had the fall opener as well. Does the school benefit from that, or are you a part of that in any way?
We were a little bit more part of it this year. We took on a role of, we did set up on Thursday for them, and then we went ahead and the National Honor Society helped with the dinner portion of it. So they did a lot of the cleanup of plates and things while the dinner was going on. And then on Sunday morning, softball came in and they did cleanup. So, and then the chamber gives a donation to each of those groups, and it's a way to give back a little bit. And it takes a little bit off those, I would say, the chamber members and the businesses, because that's kind of their night, their big fundraiser, and it's nice to be a little bit part of that. We had something that we put into the silent auction with the staff donated money towards it. We had a number of staff there that bought tickets for it. It's just, you know, it's nice to be part of the community. Myself, I go to the chamber meetings just to keep up with what they're doing. They're doing great things and are always supportive of the school. So it's a nice way that we can kind of give back to their big event of the year. And it was nice to see the whole community come together again for a nice event within our Muscat community.
Yeah, indeed. Because all those businesses and the chamber, they support the district.
They sure do. They're just anything we would ask for, they are there. And, you know, and our community came out to vote and supported our referendum. And that's not easy to do at this time with, you know, raising taxes and a lot of other things going on financially for people. But to see them come out and support that, it's like the little bit that we can give back to the community, you know, for that support. We're all working together for one big reason, and that's the kids in our district.
You're getting a little more rest in this September than you were last September when you were planning for...
Yeah, I tell you, when you walk into a position and then you fail a referendum right away, it puts a little pressure on you to get going. So I said, and it was close, and then we were able to bounce back and able to pass one in April. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little bit more, but there's always other stuff that takes your time away. So
indeed. Yep. We wanted to give our word again to text in. If you're listening for the Text to Win contest, this hour's word is goal. G-O-A-L in the Civic Media. Go for the green and gold Text to Win multi-state contest. So find that through the Civic Media app or text it to 608-647-4155. The word is goal. This hour you have until the end of the hour to do that. Well, homecoming coming up, Jesse, and people in this room, has everybody been parodied in some of the skits before?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody gets incorporated somehow. Luckily, our kids have a pretty good sense of humor. Our staff definitely has a good sense of humor.
You have to.
So everybody, yeah, you have to. I mean, we all remember we were there once too. We try to offer a little bit of guidance to help along the way, but otherwise, they've come a long way. They're very creative, and yeah, there's some great imitations that happen.
Well, you know, you're making an impact if they're parodying you. You must be getting through somehow to them. Right?
That's what we keep telling ourselves. Yep.
Jeff mentioned you get to host a sectional championship. That's big for your program, and you're hoping to be there. But it's also really cool to be a part of that, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's really fun when you can do the smaller divisions as well. When I was in high school, and we went to state, and I remember the traveling and going to these big schools, and that was Division I. But there's something that's just different since I've moved here and seen how small communities travel. So being able to host that division and be in our building, and we have a really nice facility for it. We have plenty of seating. It's going to be a really fun atmosphere. Kurt mentioned it this summer about, you know, should we throw our hat in? I'm like, absolutely. And then, you know, telling the girls, and it's like, hey, we have our schedule done through state. And I'm like, there's a reason. You know, we're going to keep speaking things into existence. If this is at home, there's no reason. Like, why not? Why not be playing at home for that game? So at the very least, it'll be some really good volleyball to watch. We're just hopefully playing and not watching.
Do you bring bleachers in on the end of the gym as well then?
Yep, we do. Luckily, our staff is amazing at being able to get that. Tim will get everything set up. He can bring that in just like we do for graduation set up. So you will have labels, we'll have everything, you know, try to set it up for competing fan bases to be separated and keep it all good and safe and friendly. And but it fills up the whole gym when you have those smaller communities coming in. So I'm very excited about that. And it is just around the corner. It'll be here before we know it.
We've talked about other aspects that you're a part of, but how about special education? And how's that as you get underway with the new school year?
Oh, it's good. It's always fun to get kids in a new routine, get back into the swing of things. We've switched a little bit of our caseloads this year. So I'm working with a few younger kids, which is always humbling when I was working with juniors and seniors. So now I'm working with some freshmen and sophomores and learning new things and some new techniques and really remembering that maturity process along the way and where we're at. So it's kind of shakes up my focus every day, which has been really good. But luckily, we have a lot of great things. I know I'm sure Chelsea Clark will be here later to talk about some of the things that her students do. And now we've been able to incorporate more of our program for more of our independent living kiddos to get them in there and get them prepared, whether it's helping with making coffees in the morning and supporting our school businesses that way. And as Mr. Campbell mentioned, we did take a variety of students to go and set up for the chamber. And so we had some athletes, and then we had some kiddos that are in independent living first hour. And that's the thing, you know, okay, let's get here. Let's listen to directions. Let's set some things up and get them out and active and learning to communicate across some barriers, which was really good.
Important to teach them about volunteering and civic groups and things like that too, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. And everybody was super friendly. And so to be able to be along with those positive experiences, you hope that when they leave, that's what they'll remember and then hopefully go off on their own to continue doing that.
Do the Ag Programs have a lot of setup and things like that next week, Kelly, with homecoming?
Our kids are so active in everything, honestly. A lot of the times the FFA kiddos are in every other sport under the sun as well. So we will have a float in the parade. Our kids will be participating all week. Next week we will have Dairy Expo and a few other things going on our own, but we will be there in full force wearing our Riverdale stuff, though. So, which is great. I think it's important to be part of the district. It's important for these kids to see themselves as part of the student body. And we do have a large, I mean, about 33% of our high school and junior high are members of FFA, which is cool because, you know, one out of every three kids in the bleachers then is participating in things that are extracurricular as well. And that's another spot for them to be. I think our district does a fantastic job on having something for every kid to do, a place for every kid to feel like they belong, whether it's in athletics, FFA, any student service things we do. Like I said, I just can't compare our staff. We are always thinking ahead. We are always thinking big things for our kids. We are always pushing them to be their best and to see the potential in themselves, and then we're helping them realize it.
You have lots of great leadership as well. I know you graduate some of your officers every year, but it looks like you have a pretty good leadership staff this year, too.
I do. I have 6 seniors out of 8, and they're going to leave me at some point, too. But they've been awesome. We could not do what we do without those officers leading the way, our student managers leading the way. It's a big part of our program. It's nice. I mean, I have animals in the animal lab all week, and I don't do chores in the morning. I don't do chores at night. I ask, you know, how are things going? They're taking care of the chicken coop at the school farm. I have some student service kiddos that are FFA officers. They go out and collect eggs. They take them over to the elementary. The elementary takes care of them, puts them in the school lunch program. I mean, I'm pretty hands-off with a lot of stuff because I have such good students and such good members.
When Mr. Campbell brought in some of the students and you came along, I think that was at the end of the school year, but I was impressed how many are planning to get into agriculture or maybe go back to the family farm. I think you have a high number of those students.
Yeah, too. We do. We still have a lot of production ag kids. We have a lot of kids that maybe didn't grow up on the farm but got there as quick as they could, too. Riverdale is still definitely an agriculture community, but it's not the only place to be in agriculture. We have a lot of like Meister Cheese, for example, Fairfield Eggs. There's a lot of businesses in our community that center around agriculture but are not necessarily, you know, farming. And a lot of kids are still interested in that. And I think that speaks to, you know, I hope that they do like agriculture. I'm trying to get them into it. But agriculture is still a big employee for everyone in the state, bringing in, you know, billions of dollars. And I think that there is no better place to be, in my opinion, than in the agriculture industry, or teaching, of course, because I'm here too.
Definitely. Jeff, you always bring in some great staff members. Do you have to promise them like a free period off or something like that, or some PTO or something? Or?
Thanks, Sarah Gruen. I think she was working on coverage at the junior high school. But yeah, it is always difficult. We do got to pull them away a little bit because they don't like to be away. It's more work for them to be away than, you know, to go do this. But yeah, it is. It's good to highlight a lot of the different things that we're doing within our district.
Did you want to give I see you've got the parade route there, and it's going to be changed this year.
It is going to be changed. So just want to give everybody a little. So we're going to start, lineup's going to kind of be by our softball field and run kind of back and off that road back behind the nursing home. And then they'll start kind of at the corner of the junior high school and the football field there. And they'll head down in front of the school by the pool, by our practice football field. And then they'll turn and go by our elementary school, which has been very popular for our elementary staff. Instead of having those kids walk down, they're going to be able to sit out front. So we're kind of asking our junior high school to sit along that street where the junior high school is all the way down. And then the elementary will sit in front of their school. And then it's going to run down and turn on Mechanic Street. And that's where we're asking most of the public to be. If they could sit along Mechanic Street, we will come out to the highway and then just for a little bit. And then we'll go in through the nursing home, their parking lot, kind of their roundabout that they have there, and then get back on the highway and pull off down that little stretch right there and end our parade route kind of by our softball, the left field of our softball field again. So
you won't be going down Wisconsin
We won't
Avenue.
Be going down Wisconsin Avenue. We've had a couple, you want to say, close calls in that. It has been with, you know, students sitting along the side and people just pulling into our parade route with floats or anything else. It's becoming busier and busier down that main road. And so with the help of our police chief in town, we've discussed this for a couple years. Unfortunately, you don't go by all the businesses now, and we understand that, but safety was our top priority. We tried to block off as much as we can. We would still have cars coming in to our parade route. We have a car in the middle of the parade, you know, and then it's just not safe for our kids, and we can't monitor that as much. So they kind of have a plan. The only time we'll kind of be on the main road is down. We want to incorporate the nursing home again, so there'll be some adjustments to some lanes there, but it will keep traffic going through on the highway the entire time, which is, you know, we're going to try this year. We'll see how it goes and make adjustments if necessary, but really safety purposes is why we're kind of doing it this way around.
Well,
here's
to a happy and safe homecoming next
that's
week.
That's what we want. Yep, yeah. That's what we want in the end.
Anything else you want to add this morning, Jeff?
I just think, you know, talking about our ag program, one thing Callie does is just very authentic learning. I don't know if Callie can speak how many speakers she had last year that came into her room.
Yeah, the list is, so I think we had 24 speakers, mm-hmm. 27 visits, like field trips, whether they were, you know, in-town miniature, school farm, whatever. 27 visits, 24 guest speakers. And then Animal Lab Visitors was like over 70.
Yeah.
over 70 different animals in the lab last year. So it was pretty awesome. Again, could not do that without the support of our community members, Walsh's, Richie's, Riverdale Ag, Community First Bank, Tiny Acres, local farms. Our transportation and maintenance guys helped me out a lot too, again, as well as our staff, who is usually flexible and awesome to work with in all aspects. But yeah, I think we're doing good things. We're continuing. We got a grow tower from Southwest Tech that is kind of becoming the center of maybe potentially a school lunch program plan, where we're going to provide lettuce for our school lunch program. And then recently, Compeer donated some money to put in some bathrooms at the school farm, which Jeff has been working hard at making that happen as well. So we're constantly upgrading, as we are across the district. I mean, we want the best for our kids in our district, and I think we do a great job all around, not just in the agriculture department. In my opinion, we might be number one in the state for all of it.
Mm-hmm. I would go along with that.
Absolutely. Yeah, just that authentic learning that we can give our kids, and having them, the experiences they come in, you want to know about anything. It's like nice just to sit in a room and hear somebody come in and, you know, talk about it, using it in real life. It just draws those kids in even more. And then with our greenhouse and our farm, they're getting a lot of real world skills that they'll use in the future.
Indeed. Thanks for coming in again.
Hey, you bet. Always appreciate it.
We'll see you in October.
Yeah, we'll do.
Jeff Campbell joining us, along with Jesse Kinney and Callie Coe, members of the staff at Riverdale Schools, on today's morning show.
It is the end of summer sale at Badgerland Flooring of Southwest Wisconsin, now through September 30th. Get free basic carpet installation on select stock Mohawk carpets. Yes, you heard it right. Free installation. Spruce up your bedroom, refresh the living room, or warm up that basement floor with beautiful Mohawk carpet. Install for free from Badgerland Flooring. Call 608-649-3567. Stop in or visit Facebook or online at badgerlandflooring.com. Badgerland Flooring, your home, your style, your floor.
For the Richland Hospital and Clinics, obesity answers are more than numbers on a scale. Allison Ewing, family nurse practitioner, is one of the providers behind Get Fit, a program helping people of all ages who are struggling. She will run labs to rule out underlying conditions, then look at things you might not consider, like sleep patterns and mental health. Consider scheduling an appointment with Allison. No referral is necessary.
This Wednesday, starting at 11:30 a.m., the Richland Cattle Center hosts weekly consignments featuring fresh cows, two-year-olds, milking and breadback cows, springing cows, first calf heifers, bred heifers, open heifers of all ages, a breeding age bull, and baby heifer and bull calves. Cattle are received 7 days a week. Daily updates are available at the Richland Cattle Center website. For more information, call Junior Hipsch, 608-585-3700. Richland Cattle Center, your trusted source for quality livestock.
If you're looking for a workplace that truly cares about you and your future, at Rockwell Automation in Richland Center, it's more than just a job. It's a career with purpose. At Rockwell, people come first. You'll find competitive pay, great benefits, and real opportunities to grow in a positive